Well, if you are visiting or if you're on Zoom, welcome to Five Corners Church. I heard the highway was out between us and Sycamuse, so if you made the long trek, what is it, an hour to church this morning, if you're coming that direction, because you got to go all the way around the lake, thanks for showing up late. You're still committed. Good for you. You missed out on a good beginning in worship, but we can continue that together. Now, in our church, we like to break up into small groups, and we like to discuss what we're going to learn about in the teaching time. I find it's easiest for me to learn, not just from some talking head at the front, but when I get to share in the experience. So we want to provide an opportunity for that. In a few minutes, we want you to disconnect your chairs, maybe turn around, face the people around you, introduce yourself to someone new, and we will break into groups of 6 to 8 people. Now, here's what we're going to talk about today. If someone was to describe you with the word always, what would they say? What would others say that you were always doing? Would they say that you're always encouraging? They might say that you're always griping. That they might say that you're always finding fault. Or you could find the good in every situation. What would people say to you if they were to say you were always doing? Maybe you're a working man. You're always working hard. Or maybe you're one of those fit guys, right? Yeah, you eat the grass drinks and the blueberries and you love the exercise. He's always working out. She's always working. Maybe they're saying she's always sharing her faith. Or she's always scrolling on Facebook. What would others always say that you're doing? So Caitlin's going to throw it up on the screen. And if you want to break into your groups of 6 to 8 people, talk about this. If someone were to ask you or say to you that you were always doing something, what would it be? Well, if I could get your attention back up here. I hope you got to meet someone new. We'll get to chat again at the end. We'll pray for each other. Again, that practicing family thing. It's not about some guy on the stage. It's about us being together. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. We're in a message series called Selfless. We thought we'd go through this at the beginning of the year. And I want to introduce you to this week's message on faithful in service. Last week, we talked about being bold in spirit. And today, we're going to talk about being faithful in service. I think you would probably agree as we look out that we live in an incredibly selfish, self-centered, self-gratifying, self-promoting culture. And in fact, this week I looked up the word self-promotion on Google just to see what came up. And on the first page there was article after article after article teaching you how to promote yourself, how to get ahead with self-promotion. And there was one, it was the title of the webpage was The Art of Self-Promotion, 6 Ways to Get Your Work Discovered. And Forbes, they wrote an article, it was called Self-Promotion is a Skill. In other words, if you want to be good in this society, you'd better learn how to promote yourself. And then there was one, and maybe some of you, well, maybe you need to read it. It's 40 Ways to Promote Yourself Without Being a Jerk. Maybe. How about that? Like, self-promotion in our society is seen as a skill, and we're told we need to get really good at self-promotion. Well, this idea, it's becoming pervasive throughout everything in our culture. And in fact, while I was looking this up, I noticed an article that was talking about a study of teenagers and what they would like to be when they grow up. So what do you think? What is the most common thing that teenagers would like to be when they grow up? Yeah, I'm hearing it out there. The aspiration that's most common for the teenagers is, well, 54% of them, 54% want to be some sort of a celebrity. And they either want to be a YouTuber or they want to be in a famous band. And to accomplish that, they're told they need to self-promote, to be on TikTok every day or Instagram and letting the world know who they are and what they're doing. to help others see just how great that they can be in their career or in their future. And if you follow TikTok, there's this thing that seems to be going viral right now. Teenagers, they want to be the GOAT. And as a 40-year-old, I'm like, the GOAT? Like, what does that mean? But apparently, it's like a texting thing, because if you use long words, nobody reads it, so you got to make your words short. So the GOAT stands for, and teenagers, if you know this, just kind of elbow dad, the GOAT stands for the greatest of all time. So all over the internet right now, on TikTok, everybody wants to be the greatest of all time. And it might be on snowboarding, or skydiving, or whistling, or hula hooping, or who knows what it is, but they want to be the greatest of all time. The GOAT, they want to be this self-promoting, self-centered, selfish-oriented superstar in our culture. Now, the problem with this is, if you want to follow Jesus, Jesus' teaching is dramatically opposed to this self-centered, selfish, self-promoting culture. This is what Jesus said. He said this, and it's written down, so it's very clear. If you want to follow me, don't promote yourself. He said, you must deny yourself and then pick up your cross. In other words, you're dying to your own selfish natures, and then you follow me. And Jesus said, if you want to be great, it's not about self-promotion. Because Jesus did say, the greatest among you are the servants. If you're a follower of Christ, you're not called to self-promote or to live in selfish, self-centered lives. But instead, he calls us. He invites us to be selfless, denying self and taking on the very nature of a servant. As Jesus' followers, serving isn't something that we do. Instead, it's an action that reflects who we are serving. It isn't just what we do, it is who we are. A servant, at our core, is who we're called to be. I would say it this way. I am a servant of the Most High God. And when I serve others, I'm serving Christ. Serving isn't what we do, it's who we are. What are you always doing? It's what we opened up with. If someone were to answer that question, what would they say that you're always doing? Well, let's look to the Bible a little bit. Acts chapter 9, verse 39. It's this powerful little verse, the one verse that shows what someone was always doing. It's an incredible little story, and many of you probably haven't heard it because it's just a small little snippet in there. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. It's about this lady in Joppa. There's a lady, a disciple named Tabitha. She was actually the first Greek female mentioned in the New Testament. Now, we don't know much about her, but what we do know is that something that she was always doing. The text says she was always doing good and helping the poor. What a description. If only one thing gets written about you in the Bible, like, that is an incredible description. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Now, if we look through church history, we find out what her actual task was, what she was actually doing. She made clothing. She sewed up little things. She weaved together stuff, and she gave it to those who were struggling. And she would often serve widows in this way. Her ministry was so important that when she died, God called Peter, used him to raise her back from the dead. So this little revival broke out in her community because here's this woman and her ministry was so important that she was brought back from the dead because she was always doing good instead of always being self-promoting in her attitude. She was always selfless, using what she had to make a difference in other people's lives. Serving because she knew who she was. She was a servant of the Most High God. So, that's a wonderful story, Pastor David, but, you know, different time, different culture. how do we, as Jesus followers, how do we become a faithful servant? Like, you might say, well, I don't make clothes. Like, and clothes are cheap. Like, go to the thrift store. They'll even give you some. Maybe you're looking different. I can't stand on the stage and sing. Like, I'm not a singer. Like, what can I do even in the church? I'm not a Bible teacher. Like, I'm not going to stand on the stage and tell everybody what God is saying. Like, that's not me. I don't really know how I can make a difference. And so what I want to do today is I want to keep it really simple. I'm going to give you three images from the Bible tied in with three simple stories that I hope will be memorable and will inspire you to serve because of who you are. You were called to be a servant of the Most High God. Three images. The first thing you can do is you can bring a lunch. You can bring a lunch. You can also offer a ride. Or you can carry a towel. How do we become a faithful servant? You can bring a lunch, you can offer a ride, or you can carry a towel. So let's start with the lunch story. I want to show you a story from the Old Testament. It's about King David. King David, if you don't know him, he was a war hero. He rose to notoriety when he killed the giant Goliath. If you remember the story from when you were a kid in Sunday school, right? When he came back from battle, he was so admired that the women would actually gather in the streets and they would sing songs to him about him. Like, that's a pretty famous dude. Like, here comes David, he's our hero kind of songs. Now, this kind of, well, I'm still believing by faith that one day I'm going to come home from battle, you know, preaching God's word, and Lisa's going to be standing in the driveway just singing a song to me. It hasn't happened yet, but it could happen. This kind of raises a question. What made this guy so great? Like, why would they sing songs to him? Why? Well, a lot of people would say he was great because he won the battle. He defeated the giant. Their enemy was now gone. But I would tell you a different story. I think he was great because he brought a lunch. And let me say it again. A lot of people would say that he was great because he won the battle. But I would tell you he was great because he brought a lunch. If you look all through his life, whether he was a harp player for Saul or doing the right thing behind the scenes, this man was promoted in the kingdom of God because he had the heart of a servant. Well, what do you mean by the lunch? Well, David was the youngest of eight brothers, the son of a man named Jesse. The older brothers, David's bigger siblings, they were out fighting a war, or at least preparing to fight. And the father came to them one day and said, "Son, I need you to do something. It might not look important, but it's important to God." Right? The Bible wrote that, the Bible says that Jesse said to David, "Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brother. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing." David was asked to bring a lunch. And in other words, it would be this. "Hey, David, you wanna fight in the battle one day? First, you bring a lunch. First, you have to be willing to do what might seem insignificant, what's often invisible to others. What you do might feel like it's behind the scenes. But the way you're promoted in the kingdom of God, it's never by self-promotion. It's always by serving. If you want to be great, what do? You serve. The greatest among you is a servant. And one of the ways that you can do this is just simply being obedient and bringing a lunch. Well, the second story I want to pull up, you can also offer a ride. You can offer a ride. I love this Old Testament prophecy. 553 years before the event took place. Imagine this. Zechariah, the prophet, he prophesied that one day the great king would come riding in on a donkey. this prophecy would have blown people's mind because they're going to think of this great king coming in. And he's not coming in on a donkey. He's coming on a white horse with flowing robes with a great army behind him. And the crown on his head with everybody going crazy. In our culture, it would be like the president coming in with his limousine with the little flags on the front and the entourage, the Secret Service in front and behind. Big, important. But instead, it's the equivalent of riding in on a bicycle. Here comes the king on a bicycle. And Jesus said to his disciples, he approached them. He said, I need you to secure a donkey. A 553-year-old prophetic event is about to come down. And Jesus says, if anybody asks you why I need this donkey, here's what I want you to tell them. If they say, why are you untying my donkey? Just say to them, the Lord needs it. How can you be a faithful servant? You can just simply offer someone a ride. And this is what exactly the business person in the New Testament did. And what I love about the story is we don't know his name. We don't know what he did for a living. We don't know if he owned one donkey or 10 donkeys or 500 donkeys. We know nothing about him. We can assume that he had a business because it was a luxury to be able to afford a donkey. And this guy simply said, yes. Yes, you can take what I have. I will offer a ride. And notice what the guy didn't do. This donkey had never been ridden. And he doesn't say, oh, I didn't realize you're asking for my low mileage, never ridden before donkey. This high-end donkey, it has upgraded hooves, you know, the little spinners on it. And you know, this is the best of the best. So it'll cost you a little bit more. Well, no. What he simply said was, if the Lord needs it, I'm willing to offer what I have because I am a servant of the Most High God. How can you make a difference as a servant? Well, you can bring a lunch or you can offer a ride. By offering what he had, this guy made a way for Jesus to ride into town. He made a way to fulfill a 553-year-old prophecy. He made a way to declare that Jesus was the King of Kings. You can make a difference by bringing a lunch, by offering a ride, or you could simply just bring a towel. You can carry a towel. This is one of the most important pictures from the New Testament. The setting is just before Passover. It's a Thursday night. There's a secret meeting going on in the upper room. And Jesus was seated there with his disciples. And he knows that he's about to give his life. The very reason that he's here is about to come to pass. And Jesus knows he's going to suffer in a big way. And while he's contemplating this and knowing what's going to happen, this argument breaks out among his disciples. And do you know what they're arguing about? Do you remember the story? This is so important to them. They wanted to know, who's the GOAT? Who's the GOAT? Who's the greatest of all time? This is exactly the argument that broke out right before Jesus was going to give his life. Who do you guys think is the greatest? And I can almost imagine, right? Like, the Bible doesn't expand on the story, but I've watched The Chosen enough times that you can see the characters in there. And you can see, like, John is sitting there and he goes, well, Jesus loves me most. Like, I'm John. Jesus loves me most. And Peter pipe up, whoa, 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 come on, you're wussy little stuff. Remember when we were on the boat and then the guy came and I was the one walking on water. Like, I stepped out of the boat to Jesus. It wasn't me. It wasn't you, John. It was me. So sit your butt on the boat because you were just afraid. You were there with the Jesus loves me kind of stuff, and I was walking on water. And then you can imagine when the other disciples piping up. Well, yeah, but you only took 3 steps, and then you sank. Oh, yeah. He brought me back out because I'm his favorite. And you can imagine Bartholomew in the corner, and he's like, whoa, wait, guys, what about me? I'm the greatest. And they're like, Bartholomew? Like, we didn't even know you were one of the disciples. nobody's going to remember you. And he just kind of shuts up because it's poor Bartholomew. And their question, who's the goat? Who's the greatest of all time? Jesus is sitting at the table and knowing that he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve others. And he looks around and he sees these proud hearts and dirty feet. And so what does Jesus do? I'm sure you've heard the story. Scripture says Jesus got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Now, if you had been there, this would have been the most scandalous act of selfless service that you had seen in your whole life. Everyone sitting in the room would be like, no, Jesus, you can't do this. No, not you, and not to me. Now, sitting here in our North American culture in Canada, you might say, well, what is the big business of washing feet? Like, I don't get it. Well, it was a custom. It was polite. For example, if you came to my home today, you would come into my house and I would say, hey, can I take your coat? And I would hang it up. And would you like something to drink? We've got some water. We've got some, coffee. How can I help you? And in their culture, they would have their feet cleaned. Think about it. They're walking in sandals everywhere they go. They don't have horses because they're not wealthy people. They're not driving in cars because they haven't been invented yet. So they're walking down the dusty roads all day. And so they would need their feet cleaned. But the host would never wash feet. If you came to my house, I wouldn't say, hey, can I take your coat? Can I offer you a drink? And do you want me to give you a pedicure too, bro? Hey? Like, that's nasty. I wouldn't want to do it. I don't know where your feet have been. So what would happen is that you would invite someone in, and then you'd ask your servant, your slave, to go and kneel down and to wash their feet. And what Jesus does, he looks around the room, and he sees proud hearts and dirty feet. And Jesus puts on the slave's apron, and he gets down on his hands and knees, and he takes a bowl and a towel, and he starts washing feet. Do you remember who Jesus is? He's the Son of God. He's the bread of life. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the living water. He's the great high priest. He's the light of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the righteous judge. He's the living stone. He's the true vine. Jesus is the King of glory. He's the chosen one, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's our Redeemer, our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our rock. He's our Lord. And he knelt down, took a bowl, carried a towel, and washed their feet. Because Jesus knew the greatest among you is never a self-promoter, but he's always a servant. I didn't come to be served, I came to serve others. I came to give my life as a ransom for their sins. So church, how do you become great? You bring a lunch. You offer a ride. You carry a towel. Because serving is not something that we do. It is who we are. I am a servant of the Most High God. And when I serve others, I'm serving Christ. Jesus told another story in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Jesus said, one day at the end of time, when it's all finished, all the people are going to be standing before me, and I'm going to separate them. I'm going to put the sheep on this side, and on the other side, I'm going to put the goats. The goats. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be the greatest of all time? Because that would be a lot of fun. It would be epic to be on those YouTube videos, to get to be on the late night talk show, to be the greatest of all time. And he was saying to the goats, I'm sorry, but we didn't know each other. And he says to the sheep, welcome to the kingdom. I've prepared this for you. And I just wanted to tell you thank you because when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. And when I was locked out, you invited me in. And when I was sick, you prayed for me. And when I was in prison, you came to visit me. And the sheep, they're like, woohoo, we get to go in. And then they look back and they're like, we're going, but I don't remember any of that happening. When did I visit you, Jesus? When did I give you a drink? And Jesus would look back at them and he'd say that when you did this to the least of these, you actually did it to me. When you visited someone else in prison, you were actually showing love to me. When you offered a drink to someone in another country that didn't have access to clean drinking water, you contributed to helping them get a well. You were actually doing that for me. When you welcomed somebody who didn't feel welcome, you showed them love and grace, and you said, even though it looks like you don't belong, you can come belong here, then you were welcoming me. How do you become great? You become great by being less about you and more about him. Therefore, more about other people. Because serving isn't something that we do. A servant is who we are. It's our essence. It's our core. It's our calling. It's what Jesus transforms us to be. And then Jesus would look at his sheep and he would say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Because serving isn't what we do. A servant is who we are. Now you might be sitting there thinking, that's nice, but I'm not great at a lot. Maybe not. Maybe not. But you might be able to do something. Something small. Something that might seem insignificant. Listen, the kingdom of God is built on the little things. Those little things. It's the things that you do when nobody else is looking. It's the things that you do when you feel insignificant. When you're faithful with those little things, then God trusts you with even more. Promotion is not a reflection of self-promotion. Promotion of the kingdom of God is selfless serving, putting others ahead of ourselves. So back to our beginning question. What are you always doing? If someone were to describe your life, he's always, she's always, wouldn't it be amazing if they said, oh, he's always offering a ride. She's always carrying a towel. He's always bringing lunch. She's always holding a baby. He's always welcoming people at the door. She's always giving to somebody who's in need, or he is always praying for others. She's always a light in our office. How do you become great? It's not, and it never is by self-promotion. When you come to Jesus, you deny yourself. It's not about us. It's not about my preferences. It's not about what I want. It's about him, what he's called me to do. And when it becomes all about him, the only thing you can do is respond and say, I'm not doing good because I want to impress anybody, but because of what he did for me. Because he did it first. Because he was the first fruit. He was the first offered. I am a servant of the Most High God, and when I serve others, I'm serving Christ. Here's my honest suggestion for you, for every single one of you who are Jesus followers. I would suggest that you find, if you don't have one already, a consistent place that you serve. This is the place where I use my gifts. It may be someplace here in the church. It might be a Sunday school teacher or a cleaner-upper or a chair stacker or just a prayer. But it might also be out in the community. But find get, pursue that systematic place that week after week you're there consistently pouring into people in the name of Jesus and for the love of Jesus. And I honestly believe every one of us is called to have that place. We have gifts that we consistently use to serve, and then every single day. Then we wake up and we say something along the lines of, God, today, this is the day that you have made, and I will be glad and rejoice into it. God, give me your thoughts. Give me eyes to see the people who are in need. Give me a heart that breaks for the things that break your heart. God, I am your servant. Help me see your opportunities today. I'm on call. Prompt me by your spirit anywhere, anytime. My answer will be yes. You might prompt me to carry a lunch. You may prompt me to speak up and offer a ride. You might tell me to wash somebody's feet, but I will say yes to you, God, because the Lord has need of it. And then one day, if someone were to hear the question, what's he always doing? What's she always doing? They would have a really powerful answer. She's always serving. He's always making a difference. She's always engaged, helping people see the love of Jesus. He's always there every single week, showing up consistently. You can count on her. She doesn't just talk about Jesus. She lives the love of Jesus. And one day then, you will get to stand before him. And he will say, thank you. Thank you for what you did for me, because what you did for the least of these, you did to me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. A serving isn't what we do. A servant is who we are. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would stir and shake us. God, move us out of this selfish, self-centered, self-promoting Canadian way of thinking. And God, may we start by denying ourselves. God, help us to see ourselves as you would see us, a servant making a difference every day. God, I pray that you would help all of us to have that consistent place, somewhere every week in our church or somewhere every week in our community where we represent you, consistently engaged in the lives of people, using the gifts that you've given us in a very simple and very small way to do what might seem insignificant but may not be in the spotlight. But God is important to you. Help us to serve because we are servants. And then God, give us eyes to see and a heart that breaks for the things that break your heart. And so we can be on call every single day saying, yes, yes, I can meet that need. Yes, I can lift up her. Yes, I can be a servant to him. Promote us. Prompt us. Because God, serving isn't just what we do. A servant is who you've called us to be. It's who you've created us to be. We are your servants. God, help us to serve you by serving others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think this is a self-help kind of thing. I'm not asking you to pull up your bootstraps and get out on your own effort and make it happen by your own strength. That's also not how the kingdom of God works. This is something that is powered by the Holy Spirit. If you were to see our vision statement, I know it's a saying on a wall, but it's something we honestly believe in this church, that no matter what we do, it needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So for our closing discussion question, this is what I want you to do. I want you to talk about one of your favorite experiences serving and what you learned or saw God through what you were doing as you served. And then, if you don't have that place to serve, I want you to pray as a group. Pray for each other. God, I need a place to serve. And it's not my choice, it's your choice, because I'm the servant, I'm not the owner. So God, reveal to me the place you're calling me to serve. Pray for each other that we would deny ourselves and become better at serving. Amen? Amen. Go for it. Split into your groups, and we will see you next week.